Thus deciding. Antarena. Between. Arjunayoho. The two Arjuna trees. Krishna to Lord Krishna. Yamayo Yayao. Entered between the two trees. Atma Nirveshamatrena. As soon as he entered, between the two trees, Tiryak, crossways. Katam, so became. Ulukalam, the big mortar for grinding spices. So, translation. Having thus spoken, Krishna soon entered between the two Arjuna trees, and thus the big mortar to which he was bound turned crosswise and stuck between them. Can you repeat? Having thus spoken, Krishna soon entered between the two Arjuna trees. And thus the big mortar, to which he was bound, turned crosswise and stuck between them. So there's no purport to this text. And next text just has an extremely short purport. And text 28 has an extremely short purport, but text 29 has a sizable purport. So we'll continue reading. Text 27. Balena nishtarayatam vagulu kalantad Damodarena tarashot kalitangri bandhav nishpetatu paramavikramita tivepa skanda pravala vitapau kritaka chandas shabdau. By dragging behind him with great force the two wooden mortar the wooden mortar tied to his belly, the boy Krishna uprooted the two trees. By the great strength of the Supreme Person, the two trees, with their trunks, leaves, and branches, trembled severely and fell to the ground with a great crash. So, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This is the pastime of Krishna known as Damodar Lila. Therefore, another of Krishna's names is Damodar, as stated in the Hari Vamsa. Sachat Vinayava Namnatu Krishna Vai Dama Bandana Koste Damodara Ti Kavi Vi Pari Giyate. And so, Krishna's name is Damodar, is bound. Bandana means the stomach that is bound up. Very interesting. Okay, next text, text 28. Tatra shriya paramaya kakupa spurantau siravupecha kuchyori vajata veda krishnam pranamya shirasakila lokanatham Vadanjali viraja savidam uchatusma. Thereafter, in that very place where the two Arjuna trees had fallen, two great perfect personalities who appeared like fire personified came out of the two trees, the effulgence of their beauty illuminating all directions. With bowed heads, they offered obeisances to Krishna, and with hands folded, they spoke the following words. So, text 29. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogins, Tvam Abhya Purusha Paraha, Vyakta Vyaktam Idam Vishwam, Rupam Te Brahmana Viduhu. O Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna, your opulent mysticism is inconceivable. You are the Supreme Original Person, the cause of all causes, immediate and remote, and you are beyond this material creation. Learned Brahmanas know, on the basis of the Vedic statement, Sarva Kal Vidam Brahma, that you were everything, and that this cosmic manifestation in its gross and subtle aspects is your form. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, the two demigods, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, because of their continuing memory, could understand the supremacy of Krishna by the grace of Narada. Now they admitted that we should be delivered by the blessings of Narada Muni was all your plan. Therefore, you are the supreme mystic. Everything, past, present, and future, is known to you. Your plan was made so nicely that although we stayed here as twin Arjuna trees, you have appeared as a small boy to deliver us. This was all your inconceivable arrangement. Because you are the supreme person, you can do everything. Wow. Very interesting purport. So, Om Gana Timuranda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miditan Yena Tosmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, what we can understand from this purport, also from the Bhagavad Gita, which states Krishna tells Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything past, present, and future. So, what we can understand is this whole particular pastime or activity. Cursing of Narada Muni, by Narada Muni, the standing up of Manigriva and Nalakuvara, naked, had all been planned by Krishna. And actually, it's a fact, because Manigriva and Nalakuvara were ready to get some chastisement instructions at that particular point, so therefore Krishna sent Narada Muni. As it said, that when one is ready for guru, then Krishna sends the guru. So Krishna was behind everything. And yesterday I was thinking and reading about the Mahabharata and how Krishna was behind everything and planned everything out ahead of time. And I was, it's just like he's an expert, not only dramatic actor, but he's an expert director, playwright. And he has his people arrange the scenes for everything. For example, in the Mahabharata, you know, this is way before the Pandavas were born, and way before, actually, even Grandfather Bhishma was born. You have Shantanu, you know, it starts there in the Mahabharata, and you can see it's all like, in retrospect, you know, retrospect means looking backwards. You could see Krishna is just like putting everybody in different places. I mean, for example, you have Shantanu, who in his previous life was Mahabish, a king. And he was up in the heavenly planets. And he happened to be watching a dancing performance. And Gangadevi was also there in the dancing performance. And some wind blew Gangadevi's skirt up a little bit. And he stared at her. And she liked it. Yeah, I'm not going to criticize them. Anyway, she liked it. And when Lord Brahma saw that, he got really angry. Because, you know, it's not nice to stare at a woman, especially in a state like that. Nowadays, of course, who knows? What's, you know, there's a... That's interesting. There was one famous actor that when he deals with ladies, he never touches them. And there are people who criticize him for that. Anyway, I'm not going to tell who it is. But anyway, so, but it's just, you know, in the heavenly planets, you know, things are done chastely. Indra makes a few mistakes here and there. But anyway, so he stares at Gangadevi. Brahma gets angry, curses him to go down to the earth planet. And same time, you know, at the same time you have other things going on, like the heavenly vasus are stealing the desire cow of Vasishtha Muni, and they're getting cursed by Vasishtha Muni to take birth on the earth planet. I mean, you see all these things, like, it appears like all these things are happening by chance. It doesn't appear, but anyway, you know, it's not. It's actually just Krishna arranging the scene there. So you have... Anyway, so the Vasus get cursed. They beg for forgiveness. Then it's decided that one Vasu, Jiao, is going to accept the curses of all of his brothers. There's eight Vasus. And he's going to have to live a long life on the Earth planet, and the other ones just get a real short life. As soon as they're born, that's it. Curtains go down to the Ganges River. So then these Vasus go to Ganga Devi and say, you know, we need a mother. Are you willing to come down? And Ganga Devi says, well, I'm coming down anyway, boys. because, you know, this Mahabishu looked at me. I like him too. He's cursed to go down to the Earth planet, so, you know, we can be a little romantic down there. So, she agrees. You see all these things like that. It's not coincidence. The point I'm making, there's no coincidence. When you deal, you know, or by chance. You know, sometimes the devotees even say, by chance, you met a spiritual master. There's no chance. There's absolutely no chance. Whether you're talking about the law of karma, whether you're talking about Krishna directly, everything is under the Lord's direction. You know, nothing happens by chance. And then, you know, sometimes people complain about the law of karma. You know, why do we have to suffer? You know, why does Krishna? But, you know, Krishna has a plan. I'm talking about the law of karma. Or devotees who have to suffer in different ways and say, why is Krishna doing this to me? Well, Krishna has a plan. You gotta have faith in the Lord. And you'll be saved. Anyway, so you have to have the faith in the Lord that Krishna has a plan. So anyway, so with getting back to the Mahabharata, which I found quite interesting, because I heard a class, it probably was talking about the Mahabharata and how Krishna was planning everything out. That's why it's connected with this verse. And then, anyway, so then Mahabish comes down, Shantanu, the Vasus, you know, Shantanu falls in love with Ganga Devi. It's all pre-planned. They have a prenuptial agreement that he'll never disagree with anything she says. And he says, of course, you never say anything bad or do anything bad. And she starts throwing the kids into the Ganges River, you know, right after they're born. And finally, he says, when the eighth one is getting ready to be thrown to the Ganges River, stop! And that's Jiao, you know, the Vasu who actually took on the karma of all the other Vasus, because it was actually his wife who inspired the Vasus to steal the desired cow of Vishishtamuni. So he was responsible. You know, you're responsible for what your wife does. So that Jiao later on became Bhishma, and then you have this whole thing with Satyavati, right? Later on, Shantanu, you know, being extremely romantic guy, falls in love with Satyavati, and because I'm not going to tell the whole Mahabharata story, don't worry, it's just very quick, and because Shantanu wants to marry Satyavati, and he gets all depressed because he can't marry because Satyavati's father, the fisherman, won't let him marry because he wants Satyavati's son to become the next king. So Bhishma takes a vow of Akhanda Brahmachari, not getting married, you know, not taking over the kingdom. So you have all these different scenes set for the Mahabharata war. It's actually Krishna's arranging everything so that a whole bunch of demons could be killed simultaneously, or, you know, 28 days, you know. You're not really simultaneous. If it's a pretty quick, you know, get rid of everybody in a few days, you know. Because previously, the demigods had gone to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma had gone to the shore of the ocean of milk. No, because this is leading up to Krishna's appearance anyway. So it's good we tell this story. Lord Brahma had gone to the ocean of milk and prayed to the Shiradakshai Vishnu. Shiradakshai Vishnu said, you know, I'm going to take birth on the earth planet to get rid for Trinaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chidushkrutam. And so, you know, he had his plan. You know, Krishna's really an intricate planner. Isn't it? I mean, it's just amazing if you think about every single atom Krishna is arranging in his plan. It's not only, you know, the main actors. But it's all, Krishna knew what he was going to do, which is amazing. Because he knows everything, past, present, and future. Trikala Gya. He's the knower of past, present, and future. So Krishna had this whole plan in his mind, and because his brain is unlimited. Mind is unlimited. He just like manipulates every single different electron in the creation. You know, sometimes you say not a blade of grass, but I would say not even an electron, not even a quark moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, getting back to the Mahabharata. Duryodhana and his brothers are born. Quick, go through the Mahabharata. And the Pandavas, you know, the Pandu gets cursed. He can't touch his wife or else he's going to die because he killed the Rishi Kindaman and the Rishi Kindaman's wife. And so that was part of Krishna's plan. You see all these things, you know. It's amazing. It's like there's a script. I don't know if any of you have ever done drama. Mother Krishna used to do drama. What part did you play? In Rama's pastime? Did you play Sarpanaka or something?
No, that was...
That was who?
Arnold.
Oh, Arnold played Sarpanaka. Yeah, there. Yeah. So anyways, he just has a script written. And then, all right. So then, you know, fast forward to the Mahabharata war, and Krishna arranges. We just actually were hearing from Prabhupada how Krishna arranged for, so Yudhisthira at one particular point had to lie and say that say Ashwatthama was dead. You know, so it's just like, it's simply amazing. That's the point I'm making. It's simply amazing. Krishna had to arrange that, of course Yudhisthira didn't want to lie, so Krishna had to arrange that Ashwatthama the elephant was killed instead. Then Krishna had to show up at the right moment to tell Duryodhana to cover his midriff, you know, so Bhimsen would be able to kill him at that particular point. And so it's, anyway, so I'm not going to go through the whole Mahabharata in this particular way, but the point is that everything is under the control of Krishna. And how does that reflect or influence our own lives? That Krishna's doing these things for us or to us, and he has a plan for us too. You know, sometimes, I just got a message this morning from one of my disciples. You know, why is Krishna doing this to me? You know, I'm suffering this pain all the time and anxiety and distress. It's not me, it's one of my disciples. Don't worry, it's not like when you go to someone and you say to them, someone said to me this, and you know it was that, it wasn't me. So, it was someone in Fiji. But anyway, so that's the point. We just have to have that faith in Krishna that he has the plan, and he's just moving all these different things in different ways to bring us to the point of surrendering to him. Now, in the case of Manigriva Nala Kuvara, it took 100 celestial years. It's a long time. We were asking Trista the other day, what about this post-traumatic stress that they have to suffer from, you know, 100 years of the tree remembering, oh my God, you know, 100 years remembering everything for 100 years and just standing there not being able to do anything about it. Can you imagine being paralyzed for 100 years? Celestial years. It means millions of years. And not being able to do anything about it, but being aware every second that you did something wrong and this was your punishment, and not getting angry at God. That's the amazing thing. I mean, most of us, like if Krishna said, you know, you're going to just sit there for, or, you know, even if I said to a disciple, You have to sit there for 8 hours and look at the wall and realize you were a bad boy. Can you imagine? I mean, practically anybody get angry with the guru after a while, isn't it? You're a really bad boy. But all I did was drink a little. I walk around without my clothes. So, I mean, this is like, what is that, a cruel and unusual punishment? You know, the United States Constitution? We have a constitution in the United States, for those of you who are not from the United States. One of the things it says in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, is you should not have any cruel and unusual punishment. You know, solitary confinement for millions of years, just because you walked around naked and got drunk. I mean, that's pretty heavy. But so anyway, so because, see, it shows that these personalities, Manigriba and Nalakuvara, were actually devotees. And they had spiritual knowledge. Because if they had not been devotees or had not had spiritual knowledge, they would have become so angry, resentful against Narada Muni, against Krishna. But they understood they had done something bad. So they stood there and they became repentant. Like that. So, as far as we're concerned, we have this spiritual knowledge. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra. Krishna is everywhere. Sarvam Chamayi Pashati. Tashaham Napanashamina. Sachamina Panashati. As Krishna says, my favorite verse in the Gita, one who sees me in everything and everywhere is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So that's what it means to be a devotee. You know, Krishna, you've arranged this. You have some plan. It's for my benefit. It's for the benefit of society. I'm going to go along with it. And Arjuna, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, didn't accept that. He was arguing with Krishna. Yudhisthira refused to obey Krishna's instruction to tell a lie. He was basically arguing with Krishna, too. So we don't want to be at the point of arguing with Krishna. We want to just say, Krishna, I don't understand what your plan is, but you have a plan, and I accept Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. So, anyway. So, these are some of the points I wanted to make in this regard. So, anybody have any questions? Yes. Question.
I've been wondering about this for some time. So like Krishna has a plan for everything. So I was wondering when
everything, everyone, everywhere, all times.
But in the spiritual world, when these pastimes being arranged, is he arranging those pastimes too?
Oh, he has his devotees. Well, Krishna assigns his devotees to arrange the pet, like Yogamaya, Vrindadevi, to arrange those pastimes. And that's even in the material world. But Krishna's aware of everything. Krishna's aware of everything. Specifically, all right, let's get to the point. Specifically with the devotees, once you say, Krishna, from this day forward, I'm yours, Krishna directly takes interest in you. Otherwise, it's Krishna's external energy. Yeah, and you know, Krishna has his expansions and his energies, his devotees to take care of all these things. But Krishna's aware of everything, and he knows how it's going to work out. And specifically, when you're dealing with Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's directly dealing with everything. And Prabhupada said this Krishna consciousness movement is one of Krishna's pastimes. So you join the Krishna consciousness movement, and Krishna's directly doing things. Like, for example, if we're thinking, why does it have to rain on Janmashtami? Or why is it, you know, why are we, you know, this last minute thing with this whole, I mean, we started the construction in, when did we start? November or something.
Well, they wanted to start really early.
Oh yeah, the permit. The permit, yes. But we started in January.
Yeah, that was the November before, yeah.
Yeah, it was in January. Why is Krishna doing this to us? And it's going to rain. You know, so it's Krishna. I mean, we try our best. I mean, obviously, we can't blame Krishna for our foolishness. You know, if we act foolishly, we shouldn't blame. We can. I mean, we can do anything we want. We can blame Krishna, but we shouldn't. We have to use the right words here, you know. So, it's Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, this Krishna conscious movement is one of Krishna's pastimes. You know, things happen. And we don't know what the future holds. What do you think?
Exciting.
Exciting. Well, to me, it's like being on a roller coaster. Yes, there'll be another question.
Yeah, I was curious about. I was curious about like action and inaction in the context of, you know, Krishna's arranging everything. We could just sit and kind of wait.
No, that's not the point. We have to act, but ultimately the result is up to Krishna.
Right. Sometimes it's really hard to know when to act, or how long to act or not act.
Yeah, it takes some intelligence and association and consultation with, you know, intelligent people. So, yeah, it takes some intelligence. When to act and how to act, what to do. We have to try our best. All Krishna wants is that we try our best. That's all he wants. He doesn't expect us to be God or do miracles. We just try our best. But Krishna has a plan, and sometimes, like I said, it's like being on a roller coaster. Can you imagine, like, the people, the devotees in the Mahabharata, you know, isn't it? I'm in the Mahabharata war, you know, and Arjuna seeing Abhimanyu killed. Could you imagine how they felt? I mean, it's just like, you know, we hear the story, but Abhimanyu, he was Arjuna's favorite son. He was, you know, Krishna's nephew, Subhadra's son. And his wife was just, you know, like 14 or 16 years old, and she was just pregnant. She just got married a few months ago. I mean, it's really heavy stuff. Even for the devotees. I mean, what to speak of the, you know, the so-called demons like Duryodhana. And of course, they were also sent down by Krishna to play a part. Like, you know, Duryodhana and Shakuni, you know, they were all sent down to play a part. So that Krishna could do all this stuff. It's heavy. I mean, sometimes you think, why is Krishna so heavy when he does things? I mean, why not just have everybody, you know, peace and love, you know, gotta love each other, you know. It's heavy, you know. You know, Prabhupada at one point said like 640 million people killed, and another time Prabhupada said 6,400,000. You know, there's different numbers Prabhupada gave at different times. But whatever, it's a lot of people, isn't it? Even poor Ghatotkach. You know, and then Karna, and then Krishna telling Arjuna to kill Karna after Karna had... I mean, Krishna broke a lot of rules. Right? When Karna got down from his chariot, the wheel was stuck, he was trying to free the wheel. His brahmasa didn't work either because he had been cursed by Parashuram. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, you know, you pull out the bow and shoot him. And Arjuna says, what? It's against the law, against the rules. And Krishna says, remember what he did. You know, they broke a lot of rules too. You know, they ganged up on Abhimanyu. He was offensive to Draupadi. Kill him. And Krishna was just instilling this anger in Arjuna. Remember this. You know, Krishna's really dramatic in how he does things. You know, Arjuna wouldn't have done it right away, even on Krishna's order. Well, he didn't know it was his brother at that point. But Arjuna, because it was unfair. He wanted to fight fairly with Karna. That was his whole dream, to defeat Karna fairly. So Krishna says, remember he did this? Remember he did that? Remember he did that? You know, just getting, yeah, he did that. You know, so it's so dramatic. Krishna is an extremely dramatic character, the way he does things. So don't think that Krishna won't be dramatic in your life. That's the point I'm making. Because Krishna loves drama. He's not boring.
Thank you, Rudy. I think the point, the significant point, is not being attached to the results.
Yeah, don't be attached to the results. Do what you can. I mean, try to avoid the drama. You know, Krishna comes up with some drama. You know, but, you know, it's a point, you know, Krishna pushed Arjuna. And just think about how we did that. Arjuna was reluctant. Arjuna wanted to follow the rules. Krishna pushed them to break the rules. I mean, the Kshatriyas were very proud of these rules. You know, remember, that's Dharma, you know, Kula Dharma, and all these Dharmas are very important for Kshatriyas. And Krishna just had his plan. You know, extremely dramatic. So, we have a half minute left. Yes?
I just need to take a few seconds, but I was reading last night before I went to bed. I was reading in the most comprehensive knowledge, which is text 12,
yeah,
on the very end of that purport. You know, it is, and if by chance sees his face, he should at once be the dangers to rid himself of infection. But this handbook is a little intense. I think it's an old...
What text? Text 12, you said?
Text 12, the very end of the purport. I think Krishna's being... I think he's overdoing it.
No. Krishna never overdoes it. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Okay.
And from our perspective... Text 12 and most confidential knowledge, those who are less bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. That's in that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Is that the verse you
read? The very end.
The purport, Jesus.
Oh, the purport.
Yeah, purport.
Perpetually, their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. Now, perpetually, that's... The word perpetually in that particular... line is actually it's a poetic expression, basically, because there's always a chance they will come back.
Well, it says here, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation.
Yeah, that's called Yamaraja's place.
You think someone would just become humble and say, okay, that's...
They will eventually, perpetually. It's a manner of speaking when you say perpetually or absolutely in that particular case, that there's always a chance they can come back. It's not... Krishna doesn't send someone to hell eternally. So you don't take it literally, but you take it as a poetic expression in that particular case. There's no going to hell eternally, unless you want to.